Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, mother lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at McLaren's. We are here with the season finale of the best damn How I Met Your Mother podcast on the internet. That's right. That's right. Season 3 finale is here. We're talking season 3, episode 20, Miracles, baby.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We made it to the season 3 finale.
Hells yeah, man. You excited to talk about it?
Listen, I'm so excited. I watched this episode and the next one.
Yes, sir. So I am one of your co-hosts here, Josh, here with my best bud, John. And man, how the hell are you doing? I feel like it's been forever.
It has been 5 fucking minutes, but I am great.
Actually, good, good.
It's been a little bit longer. We had to take a bathroom break and we had to rehydrate because hydration is important.
It is key.
Gentlemen, if you're not drinking water, then I got 2 words for you. Good for you.
That's 3 words, but okay.
I don't care. I stand by what I said. First off, don't correct me. You're not my mom. She's dead.
She is dead, and she would be very disappointed.
She would be.
Should I still call you Turd Ferguson today? If you guys missed out, go check out the previous episode, 319.
Yeah. If you're watching this episode, you didn't watch 319, then what the hell's wrong with you?
I mean,
you can't just watch the beginning, skip to the end, and then be like, oh, season 3 was great.
You would think that. But when we dropped the 2 last episodes of How I Met Your Father at the same time, we got more views on the final episode, which means that people watched and or listened to that without listening to the one before it.
Weird.
Just saying. Yeah, people are strange. People are strange.
You peoples are weird.
Yes. But like I said, we are talking episode 20, Miracles, which originally aired on May 19th of 2008.
May 19th!
of 2008, directed by Pamela Fryman and written by the showrunners themselves, Carter Bays and Craig Thomas. They like to do that. They like to do that. And hey, I'm glad they do because they put out some good stuff. Okay, so the summer. No, oh, I'm gonna tweet them, but like, yo, my co-host thinks you guys suck ass.
All I'm saying is Clone High was the worst show ever.
Hey, man, Clone High is da bomb, and it's also not them.
I stand by what I said.
So the summary for this, by the way, kids, if you haven't watched Clone High, that was a show that came out 20 years ago. And it's now getting a new season.
It is.
You should go and watch it. It's on HBO Max right now.
It was one of those shows like Firefly that had one season and didn't go long enough, but people still love it and rally behind it. And if you don't know what Clone High is, then you need to go watch it and have yourself a makeover, 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 makeover,
interesting
makeover!
They came out like right around the same time.
They did.
So, it's cool stuff, man. It was a good time. Early 2000s. There's some interesting stuff going on back then.
Remember Jolt Cola?
Dude, I do remember Jolt.
Because we're talking about the early 2000s.
Ah, Jolt. Good times.
Yeah, bad, and so you bad had a times. Massive fucking sugar crash. How many jolts?
I mean,
it kind of reminded me of like early version of Tantrum.
I was gonna say it's like Tantrum. It's I feel like that's where they got the idea for Tantrum from in the show.
Probably
was Jolt. It had to have been, because I mean,
although
I
would Marshall love... literally rips a phone book in half, so
he does. Yeah, and he drank a fucking ass ton of that stuff, man. So you never know. It's like angel dust.
I don't know if it's that bad, but
hey, man. Have you done angel dust? How the fuck would you
know? I've never done cocaine, so
it's like that's cocaine. How the fuck would you know that?
I love when he's like, oh, had to bring your stupid fucking rope.
Fucking rope. Yes. Okay, so the summary for this episode. Season 3, episode 20, Miracles. Ted breaks up with Stella, but regrets it after an accident makes him realize his true feelings. Marshall and Robin argue over the existence of miracles. Yeah.
Okay, so before we get into this episode, because like this is just easier to cover here than at the end, do you believe in miracles?
I mean, not in the religious aspect that if I
see. I'm not saying they have to be religious. I'm just saying miracles in general.
I mean, I do believe that, like, you know, some crazy ass shit happens sometimes. You know what I mean?
All the time crazy shit happens. I don't know if whether or not it'd be religious or not, but, like, I like to think that, like, weird shit happens and, like, some of it could be a miracle.
Yeah, I could see some of that.
Do you believe in magic?
Do you believe in magic? All right, so we're going to get into this. But first, I have a couple of little side things here. Sarah Chalk, okay, who, you know, plays Stella in this episode, apparently had to film an episode of Scrubs earlier in the day and go right to set to do this.
No shit.
Yeah.
That is funny.
Yeah, it's extra funny because she ends up in a hospital.
Oh, my God, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah.
I wonder, so this is 2008, so that would have been season 7 of Scrubs.
Yeah.
Wow, think about that, man. Like, it's like mid-Scrubs.
That was like Private Practice, Elliot, right?
At that point? Yes.
Yeah, she had to have been Private Practice at that point.
I want...
Because that was like right toward the end.
Yeah.
Also, this episode was nominated for an Emmy Award for Outstanding Art Direction for a Multi-Camera Series.
Interesting. I didn't know that kind of, like, Emmy existed.
Yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool. Emmy-nominated episode here, and we're about to talk about it, and we're probably going to make some
jokes.
So it was
only nominated, so it didn't win.
Yeah, it just said nominated, so.
Son of a bitch. Always the other shows, never fucking the good one.
Always the bridesmaid, never the bride. Never. Always the bridesmaid, never the wedding bride. There we go.
I get what you did there, and I liked it.
Yeah. All right, so future Ted starts things off with the story of the cab ride that changed his life.
Yep.
Yeah. So during the opening, we see this beat up car, okay, and it's got the word taxi spray painted on it.
Yeah,
and there's a guy, a shirtless driver, who's bald. Okay, now in the next scene, did you catch the connection to this part?
No.
All right, so we're gonna get into this. Okay, so we flash back to earlier in the day at the apartment. Ted walks in and he wants a beer. It's 10 a.m. Yeah. What do you think? About that?
I mean, you're asking a guy who works third shift, so by the time my 10 a.m. hits, it's everybody else's, like...
That's true. It's everybody else's 5.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, man.
I'll toast to that.
And so then we get a quick glimpse of Marshall sitting in a chair reading a newspaper. Okay, this is where it comes in. The headline on the front page of this newspaper reads... Nude cabbie vows to kill again.
Oh, shit.
And it has a picture of a bald guy with glasses and an eye patch. So the guy that Ted could have gotten into the car with was the nude killer cabbie guy.
Fair.
There's also a, next to the picture, there's a note on the newspaper that reads, Dear New York, I will be back. More must die. The naked cabbie. So yeah, I thought that was really, really a nice little kind of joke that they kind of stuck, Easter egg kind of like joke that they put in there. Yeah. If you decide you want to watch it again, or just in general, the next time you watch the episode, try to keep an eye, pause it.
Oh, I'll go back and rewatch just the opening just for that.
Yeah. It was really like to see the actual cab. It's not a cab. It's just a car. It's face facts.
Yeah, because it's the one car. It's the one where Ted's like, who knows where I would have ended up if I'd have gotten in that one.
Yeah, it's like a beat up, rusty looking car that has taxi spray painted on it, with a naked guy wearing an eye patch, bald naked guy with an eye patch.
Fair.
Apparently, he's the naked cabbie. All right, so Ted sits down and tells the gang about how he and Stella broke up. So we get the scene with them. She's talking about her sister's wedding, which that becomes a big thing later on, because the whole thing, like her sister's wedding falls apart and then they take over the wedding. It becomes a big thing, but they mention it here. And she invites him to the wedding, which is 6 months down the road, which that shows us the timeline now that we obviously know what it leads to.
Yep.
6 months from now is the wedding. You know, so it's going to be quick, real quick,
real quick.
And I have a interesting note about this scene. The place where they're eating at is the Popover Pantry.
Bam. 2 minute date.
Yeah, it's where Marshall and Brad had their brunch.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. At the Popover Pantry, baby. Yeah.
What, bro can't have another brunch with his bro?
Yeah. We then flash back a couple of years and we see Barney telling Ted that you never make plans that far in advance.
Nope.
And he rips up a pair of Springsteen tickets.
Listen, first fourth off, row, man. Rip up my tickets like that, man. You get knocked the fuck out. I don't care if you're my friend or not.
Knocked out. I would expect, if I did that to you, I would expect you to knock me right out. I really would.
However,
because that's not cool.
Robin's response to Springsteen makes me fucking laugh.
Yes.
Because of this show, I have done this in a conversation in real life. And that's where she compares Springsteen to being the American Bryan Adams.
Oh my God, I died when she said that.
I was explaining Bryan Adams to somebody once, and they were like, well, how would you explain him? And I was like, listen, you ever listen to Springsteen? And they were like, yeah. I was like, he's the Canadian Springsteen. And they were like, oh. And I was like,
well, there you go, folks. So I did the math, I guess you could say, on this. Ted and Robin started dating in May of 2006.
Okay.
So they had,
for a year.
Yeah, but they had only been dating for 2 weeks when this happened. According to Barney, he says, you've only been dating this chick for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But by this point, she was part of the friend group. All right. So when Barney's like this Robin chick, you won't even remember her name, right? There were some people online who were like, oh, this doesn't make any sense, you know, because they would have known who she was. They would have known her really well. My thought to this was Barney being Barney, not caring that it was Robin who they had become friends with, but pretending like he didn't care, he didn't know who this chick was. That's the way I looked at it.
Okay.
Because that makes 100% sense. That's 100% something Barney would do.
Oh, yeah. Barney wouldn't give a shit.
Yeah, he'd be like, you won't even remember this Robin chick, even though it's like they've been hanging out with her for like a year almost at this point.
Yeah. Know?
Yeah, and the concert was in January of that, like the following January. They were still together. So like they would have gone to this concert that Barney destroyed their tickets.
There had to have been a way that Ted could have gotten replacement tickets.
Yeah. Like usually you can get them like reprinted or whatever. Because, like, they scan tickets and stuff like that. And so, like, only one set can get in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Even back then. I mean, I went to a lot of concerts back then. Like, a lot of concerts in that back in that time. The early, mid-2000s. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, yeah. Just, I think he could have probably gotten them reprinted. So, like, yeah, I think so. I don't know. But yeah, they were together, and they were still together for like another four or five months after that, because they broke
sadly.
Up.
Sadly.
Yeah. Ted reveals that as soon as she started talking about the wedding, he freaked out, and he just spiraled out from there and winds up breaking up with her, or at least in his mind, as we find out later on. In his mind, he broke up with her.
I mean, it sounded a lot like a breakup to me.
Yeah. He says that, you know, he believes he did the right thing, you know, for her and for her daughter. That's what he's, you know, he's using. Which, I mean, I get where he's coming from, but it's like, come on, Ted. What are you doing?
I mean, it is, it's a valid reason with a partial cop-out.
Yeah. Like, yeah, like, I agree.
He's not wrong. When you're dating somebody who has a kid, it's 100%, like, you're dating two people. And, yeah. You know, and at this point now, he's met her daughter, so I get it.
No, wait, did he?
Yep. Met her a couple of episodes ago.
Oh, yeah, it was the when they were going to have sex episode. Yeah. You're right, yeah. So he's already in this kid's life.
Yep.
And, you know, even if it's just a little bit, he's already in her life, so, yeah. It's like, come on, man, what are you doing? We then flash forward to Ted in a cab. And he gets T-boned by another car and winds up in the hospital, man. Interesting thing about the cabs, okay? So, when Ted first gets in the cab, it's the number on the cab, it's like 6Z something something, whatever. It starts with a 6. Then, when the cab drives away, and then also in this scene, the cab starts with a 9. It's 9 something. Like they, wow. Like they, it's a goof, you know, like an error in the episode or whatever. But later on, I'm gonna jump ahead a little bit. Later on, we see a guy get into a cab with balloons, right?
Oh, yeah. The guy that Barney.
He's in the 9 cab, the same number as that Ted's cab switches to. Like they probably only had a couple of cabs to use.
Probably.
Yeah. So that's, and I didn't think to go back to check this, but I'm curious what cab Abby was in the last episode.
Oh yeah, that would have been,
I'm going to have to go back and check. Cause I bet you anything she's probably in, like they probably just have, you know, cabs, cause they use cabs a lot, you know what I mean? On their,
yeah.
Because they're in New York, so I bet you they have like a couple of cabs.
And I thought about that.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of interesting. Little goof that felt kind of neat to talk about. Anyways, so Marshall gets a call while at home, and he's the first one there. And my assumption is that because he's the point of contact for the emergency contact, that he must call. He either calls both of them. Both Robin and Lily, or they do a tree, you know what I mean? Like he calls Lily, Lily calls her. I don't know. But they all get the call and they take off. And there's like this very emotional slow-mo running scene with like some Radiohead playing in the background. And like, I found myself like getting emotional watching that scene, which I was like, that's some damn good filmmaking.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Cause they make you think like Ted's like,
like just the music choice, the decision to go slow-mo with the run, the way all three of them are performing in this scene, like they look devastated throughout that whole run. It's, I don't know, man, it was great to see it. And then they get to the hospital and it's like everything just drops. The music stops instantly and it's like,
Hey guys.
He's totally fine.
He's fucking eating Jell-O.
He's eating Jell-O, man. He's just totally fine.
So, I mean, oh, man. Jell-O.
So Ted realizes that he has made a huge mistake, and he needs to fix things with Stella. But she is at Kitty Funland, and I was really bummed that they did not use Tuckahoe Funland. I mean, it was already brought up in a previous episode. Like, if you're going to use a fun land.
Listen, thing that makes me laugh is that Ted brings this up to the orderly. Got to get to Kitty Funland. He's like, listen, no matter where you need to go, you're not getting morphine.
Yeah. Like, that's what he's calling the, you know, getting high. Kitty Funland.
I was just like, damn, that's a good orderly.
Yeah, it was. So Marshall says that because he walked away from the accident without a scratch, that it was a miracle. But Robin, she doesn't believe in miracles, John. So Marshall gives her an example. March of 2006, McLaren's pub.
Fucking one of my favorite scenes.
Pencil up the nose. Now, I was listening to the commentary. This is something that actually happened to the writer Chris Harris, who was the co-writer on the episode before this.
Yeah.
During one of the writer room meetings.
No shit.
Yeah. Pencil fell out. They're like, we don't remember if they were doing the same game and it fell, or if somebody just threw it in the air, but it hit and right up his nose.
Wow.
And that's why they put it in the episode.
I mean, it is an amazing, not either way it happened, amazing.
Yeah.
Barney's reaction, am I dead?
Yeah, am I dead? I mean, apparently that's pretty much what the actual reaction was. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like that's probably how I would react too. Something very similar to that.
I think my reaction, and because I thought about this, like when I was watching it, my reaction would be the, do I pull it out or leave it in? Do I pull it out or leave it in?
Oh my god, that would have been a good one too. That would have been a good alt take if they had done that. I would have liked that. Alright, so Lily then calls up Barney to tell him what happened. And, you know, she's talking to him, and at first he thinks like that she wants to like bang or whatever. And, you know, she tells him everything that happened, and he just hangs up on her.
Yep.
And so they all think that he just doesn't care. But in reality, as we see literally right after, he's like, I got to go. My friends, you know, he needs me, and he takes off. Yeah.
Listen, the thing that makes me laugh here is this is one of those rare moments where we get to see a side of Barney we get two things from Barney that you rarely get to see. One, his caring, compassionate side. Two, he speaks Korean.
Yeah. Yeah. We see that occasionally.
Yeah. Because there's this and there's the Chinese.
Yeah.
But I love that he says to them, like, I have to go. My friend needs me. Runs out the door, and the guy goes, what did he say?
What did he say? Yeah, like, they have no idea. That's what made that scene, I think, extra fun. And so he just starts running.
Well, no. He doesn't. He goes to get in a cab.
Well, he's cut off. I mean, like, he runs out of the office. He's like, he's gone. He's out.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, he gets to the cab and he's cut off by, as I mentioned before,
a man with a bunch of balloons.
Yeah.
Which means either that cabbie drove really, really fucking slow, one. Two, took a really weird fucking route to the hospital. Or three, Barney versus the machines.
I'm gonna tell you something. Okay, so we don't get to see a lot of Barney's travel to the hospital.
True.
But on the commentary, they talk about what their thoughts were for some of the things that he might have done to get there.
Yeah.
And one of them was he hopped a ride on a fire truck.
I could see that.
Yeah.
Remember the time it's the Marshall versus the Machine episode. It's where they decide that they're going to race.
Yeah.
And he gets this steak, and then he's like, I need an ambulance. I'm having a heart attack.
Yep.
And then he gets in the ambulance, and he's like, yeah, take me here. And they're like, oh, no, can't do that.
Yeah. We got to take you to the closest one. Yeah. But, yeah, so he definitely did some other stuff to get there. Which I thought was pretty cool.
I would not doubt that. I mean, it's Barney Stinson.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So Ted tells the gang that, you know, what changed his mind when this happened was that everything that he loves kind of flashed before his eyes, you know. He said bits and pieces, but it's the stuff that he loved. And Stella was one of those things, you know. So he knew that he needed to fix things there. And again, Marshall thinks this is a miracle.
You know? Miracle.
Robin's still skeptical. So he gives another example. Another example. I love this example. This is my, of the three, this is my yours? Favorite one here. It's July 1999, Kennedy Airport. Marshall, just back from Amsterdam. And he definitely just smuggled some drugs in from.
Oh, yeah.
But before the TSA guy can, check his bag, there's a shift change. And the new guy, he just lets him go, man. Be breezy, bro.
I was going to say, I love the second guy. He's like, just back from Amsterdam, pounder brother.
Do you know who this guy is?
Nope.
Do you know the name Doug Benson?
Nope.
Okay. Well, he's a comedian, and he's a big stoner. And I've seen him in a lot of different things. So when he popped up, I was like, oh shit, I forgot that this was Doug Benson. So I thought he's got a podcast and everything too. So
okay,
it was really I love this scene. Just the thinking about Marshall as a drug smuggler, like that's some serious stuff. He could have gone to prison, man. He was about
He was about miracle. To get himself like really fucking locked up.
Yeah.
Miracle.
Then Stella shows up. And then we go to commercial. We'll see you guys in a few minutes.
No. And welcome back.
Yeah. I'll probably stick the ad break right there. Just because. So everyone else leaves and they talk about everything. They seemingly make up. She checks his chart. It reminded me of Scrubs. It's like the way she just picks it up and she's like looking at it. Elliot Reed style right there.
Can't pig or read.
So then she climbs on top of him and they start making out and dry humping.
If I had a nickel for every time that happened to me in a hospital, I'd be broke.
You'd be broke ass hoe. There it is. You are a broke ass hoe. Marshall, once again, miracle.
Miracle!
And again, Robin not buying it, man.
Not buying it for a second.
She definitely doesn't have a nickel for that. And so he gives another example, April 2008, which would have just been like a month prior to this.
Yep.
Lily's classroom. Marshall was about to beg for his job back. He's playing with some kids, you know, trying to on some funny hats and whatnot, which is great.
Running on some very dry material where he's only got a big head.
Yep, that's it, man. He's got a bunch of tiny hats. All he's got is a big head. And then, you know, interspersed with all this, we get him meeting with Hewitt from, Nicholson, Hewitt, and West?
Yep.
I think it was the name of the place. And he's about to get his job back. But while this is going on, he realizes
he's got lice
from trying on all those tiny little hats, man. And he can't take it anymore. He yells it out. And the dude's like, get out.
He does it in such a, I have lice.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, yeah, he definitely doesn't get his job back. And we learn that 2 weeks later, the SEC takes down Hewitt. We see him getting escorted out by the SEC.
Kind of so, funny.
Which is interesting because John Cho's character, who was the guy who tried to hire him in the first place over there. What the hell was his name?
The guy who played Kumar or Harold.
Yeah, Harold.
They
mentioned that 3 years later, he gets arrested too.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, this law firm, real shady stuff.
Yeah, I hadn't actually thought about that. Shit. Yeah,
all over the place.
That's kind of a nice little callback.
Yeah. And so Stella comes out of the room, and Lily says, you know, we're so happy that you guys are back together. And Stella's like, what do you mean back together? We didn't break up. That wasn't a breakup. We just, you know, we got into an argument. Wait. Did Ted think that was a breakup?
Ted thought it was a breakup.
And this miscommunication does not sit well with her. she's not happy about it. And she goes back in there and she essentially, she says, you know, if you felt like this once, you're going to feel like this again. So it's over. You know,
she snatched the jello straight out of his hands.
She does, dude. Right out of his hands. It was like when Barney smacked the burger out of Marshall's hand.
Yep.
But this to me felt again like Stella looking for a reason.
Yep.
You know, we talked about that a couple episodes back when that happened. And that's exactly what this feels like, you know? It's like, why do you automatically think, like, he's obviously, he never lied about the breakup. Like, that's he assumed
that
you knew that this was a breakup. And when she asks him, he's like, yeah, that's what it was. You know what I mean? He doesn't try to hide it or anything.
Nope, doesn't even.
No, not at all. And so, like, I don't know. I don't know if they wrote it this way at all, but part of me is putting this at least onto her character that she's like projecting her own insecurities onto Ted, and that it could be about her lingering feelings for Tony.
Ooh, maybe.
Because we know what happens.
Or maybe you're projecting your own personal insecurities onto her insecurities.
I don't think so, because we already know that she still has feelings for Tony. And way she deals with it is by avoiding it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, 100%, I guarantee you, you're right. I was just picking on you.
I know.
About projecting your insecurities.
I mean, I don't know hers. If they even had that in their mind yet.
Probably not.
But I like to retcon it that way for my own head.
I don't think, though, that, like, once they started writing it, they probably were like, oh, shit, we can get away with this because, you know, this is how she's acted the whole time. It could just look that way.
Yeah. Yeah. They kind of pieced it together nicely. And so the gang come, because Stella leaves, the gang comes in, they talk to Ted about it. And Marshall asks Ted a question. He says, did you say I want to break up? And Ted's like, of course not. That's a horrible thing to say. And I realized there's a reason why he acts this way and why he didn't say it. That's the exact same, and I mean exact, same thing he said to Natalie in season one. When he broke up with her. When he broke up with her on the second time, he says, I want to break up.
Yeah.
And then he got the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah. So,
I mean, I would probably avoid saying that phrase, too.
If I hadn't actually thought about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the re-return.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Like, I love the way they piece things. I mean, that was from season one. We're talking the beginning of season one, like episode four. And we're coming back, end of season three, and they bring this back. And it explains why Ted reacts the way he does, you know, why he kind of softballs this break.
Yeah, well, because he learned from getting his ass kicked by a chick who was practicing Krav Maga.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, I don't want to get my ass kicked again for trying to be nice and breaking up, so let's really cushion the blow. Mm-hmm. And then she has a misunderstanding.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's
which
probably
just goes
good
to proof, though, you never make assumptions, though, either.
It's true. It's very true.
Because, I mean, Ted could have, in a nice way, like, after he said it, and she was like, okay, well, I'll see you later. And he's like, you understand what I'm saying to you right now, right? And still, like, without saying we're breaking up, further, like, drove it home.
Yeah, he could have done a better job. It's true. And so while in the hospital, Ted gets a call on his cell phone from the front desk of the very hospital that they're in.
Yeah.
Which, that lady is the lady who calls Marshall about Ted.
Yep.
So she knows Ted's literally there.
Listen, and I thought the same thing. I'm like, first off, they weren't going to call Ted. Like,
no, they would have just gone into the room.
Yep.
You know, like, wait a minute, Ted Mosby. Wait, he's literally here. Okay, I'll just walk across the hall because he's literally across the hall from where she is. Like, it's like, okay, weird, but, you know, whatever. But he gets the call saying that, because he is the emergency contact for one Barney Stinson.
Barnabas Stinson.
That's right. And so we flash to the outside where we see Barney approaching the hospital. And he goes across the street and he gets hit by a bus.
Oh, yeah.
And this is when, okay, so there's, I don't know if you noticed this, you probably did, but when he's across the street and he's looking at the hospital, the cab with the guy with the balloons pulls up and the guy with the balloons gets out of the cab. Yeah. Which I thought was great.
Well, and I thought that's why I said, like, either like that cab driver took a really weird route.
Yeah.
Because they get there at the same time and Barney, like, ran hypothetically.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
though, New York City can get traffic jammed pretty easily. I bet, like,
you're not wrong.
You could sit there, you know, you could be a mile away and it could take you getting half an hour to get there.
True.
You know, it's pretty nuts, unfortunately. But so theoretically, that could have been the reason. But like I said, in the commentary, they say Barney did some stuff to get there. So, you know, he wasn't going to be stopped.
He was not.
And so they go and see Barney and he's in a full body cast.
Full body.
And he claims that he was he was up in that part of town because he had to attend a very important international business meeting.
Yep, he's an international businessman.
And I have a very important international business meeting to get to. So I love that he reused that. And it's funny because, I mean, he kind of was in an international business meeting.
I mean, you're not wrong. He was.
When he left. He just wasn't up there for it. Barney purposefully had the doctor set his broken arm in a high-five position.
Yep.
Which I love that he actually has. He tells Marshall to do it.
High-five me. Are you sure? That's why do you think I had him set my arm like this? Like,
and then he does it, and he's like, worth it. Love it. And so Ted and Barney, like, they talk, and they have this real emotional, like, makeup scene, which was nice. And they're finally bros. They're, you know, they're friends again. They're brothers. Marshall gets in on it. I love it.
And then Ted runs off to go get Stella, and Barney still continues to go.
Yeah. But before that, Marshall's like, you know, they both survived these accidents, you know.
Miracle!
And Robin, still cynical, and then we get her explanation before Ted runs off as to why she does not believe in miracles. So when she was a kid, she had a dog named Sir Scratchawan. I love this dog's name, Sir Scratchawan. And it got sick and needed to be put down. But when her parents took him to the vet told them about this experimental procedure to save this dog's life. But it had a big side effect. And it turns out it turned it into a turtle. Or so that's what they told her. And she apparently did not realize that this was a lie for quite a while. Didn't realize that.
And I love that she admits it, though, too, because she's like, it took me longer to realize than I wanted to admit.
Yeah. That's when she realized miracles, they're not real. And so Ted gets his results, and that's, you know, when he realized, you know, everything's fine with him. And so he needs to go and find Stella.
Yeah, he's got to fix it.
Yeah. So after Ted leaves, Marshall asks Barney if he saw anything right before the bus hit him. And they start listing off all the stuff like boobs, suits, money, and scotch in various ways.
I mean, that's definitely Barney.
Yeah. But he gives this look to Robin, this smile and this look. So yep. we know something's coming. We know something's coming.
Oh, it's coming.
And the episode ends with Ted showing up at Kitty Funland to talk to Stella, where he proposes.
But he doesn't have a ring.
No, he does not.
He uses a little stuffed orange kangaroo.
Orange kangaroo?
And I think it's fucking adorable.
It is.
Then fucking Tony goes and ruins it.
Yes, eventually. Part of me kind of wishes it had been like a purple giraffe.
That would have been really cool.
Yeah, because that was the whole thing. Or it had been yellow of some sort, you know, to try to show us it going the other way. But it was orange. That's okay.
I mean, I think it's primarily because a lot of those places don't carry traditional toys.
But, you know, orange and yellow are close.
I mean, you're not wrong.
But yeah, no, I thought that was it was funny. It was an interesting way to end the episode because it's a hard cliffhanger. It's like, you know, will you marry me? Boom. Come to the credits. And that's it for the season.
That's it for the season. And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Season completes.
Yeah. So that that was the, you know, season 3, episode 20, episode Miracles. John, what are your final thoughts on the episode?
This is a good episode. It's not a laugh riot, but it's definitely a solid episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoy it. Has some real good moments in it and left us on a nice cliffhanger. So brings us back coming in. So, all right, folks. So that's the end of that. Now we're going to get in to the last of these for season 3. We're here for Barney's blog.
Suit up, bitches.
That's right, folks. All right, so this one is titled Emergency Room, but it's spelled all funky. Okay?
Is it because he's in the cast?
So it starts off, Thweer's been an accident. Okay, this isn't working. And then it goes into something else. It says, hello, I'm Bill, a nurse here at St. Anthony's. Patient Stinson has asked me to type this stupid blog for him because he suffered severe injuries to over 83% of his body.
83%?
Mm-hmm. He says he'll pay me quite handsomely, and judging by the stack of hundreds I found in the suit we cut off him, I believe him. So here goes. Barnacles, you find yourself in pursuit of the ladies. You may be forced to don a disguise of a less awesome nature, such as a full body cast. Now, .. And says, hold on. What the hell is a barnacle? And are you saying you wear a costume when you're trying to pick up chicks? Yeah. Why? Yeah, there's a conversation. It says, why? Would get them true go home with me. That's kind of pathetic, no? Seems to me you'd look like a damn fool wearing a costume in the middle of the club. Don't people laugh at you? No. Sure they don't. They won't. Well, why don't you just be honest about yourself and tell a woman she looks beautiful? Usually works for me, and I empty bedpans for a living. Well, you're doing it wrong. That's funny. I have not one, but two lady friends from last night who may beg to differ.
Oh.
True? Okay, anyone who's actually reading this blog, you're being misled. Meeting women is not that complicated. You don't need capes or costumes or whatever. Just show an interest in what she likes. Make her feel special. Oh, and wear a suit. I'm not gonna pay you now. Then I guess I'll be a little slower with your morphine drip. No. And that, folks, is the season finale of Barney's blog.
Shit, that's a good ender for the season.
It is. So with that, John, why don't you let everybody know where they can find you?
Find me on Twitter, simply saying J1. Check me out, hit me up, and let's do some talking.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at MovieBlogMerc. That's the Twitter page for my site, Merc with the Movie Blog. If you are watching this on YouTube, you can check me out. You can check me out right there on the Merc with the Movie Blog YouTube channel. And if you like it, please hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, smash that shit up, and click that little bell whenever you can find it. I don't fucking know where it is.
Damn straight. And when you do find it, don't forget to click it and set your notifications if you're watching on your mobile device to let you know when we drop new content.
That's right. And if you're listening on audio, you can head over to anchor.fm/lastcallhim. And you can leave us a voice message there. Love to hear your beautiful voices.
Or
your
hell yeah.
Beautiful voices. Questions, comments, concerns, all of the above. Let's hear it.
Listen, everywhere we're available, it's Last Call, H-I-M-I-M. Twitter, Patreon, Instagram.
Boom shakalaka. And if you're on Apple Podcasts, be sure to hit us up there. Leave us a 5-star review. We'll read that out on air. And, of course, like John said, Instagram and Twitter at Last Call, H-I-M-Y-M. Patreon, Last Call, H-I-M-Y-M. Hit us up. We'd love to hear from you. Hear all your thoughts. And be sure to join us next week when we start covering the new episodes of How I Met Your Father when they come back.
Hell yeah.
I think with all that, I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
Stay classy, San Diego. No, that doesn't feel right. All right. Nope, still not it. You don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
Catch you guys next time.